You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Are you surprised that Jimmy is still alive?
Yeah, every script I read, I sort of with bated breath turn the pages to see if Jimmy makes it out alive.
Wearing the Yellowstone brand all but guarantees you a good life on the ranch, unless you run afoul of the Duttons in some really awful way. Jimmy was the very first person viewers watched get branded with the Y iron way back in season 1, episode 1. Since then, we've watched as just about everyone else in the bunkhouse gets the brand. It all looks so real. As it turns out, most of it is very, very real. I'm Addison Hager, and actor Jefferson White, who plays Jimmy on the show, joins the podcast today to break down how they film these iconic scenes. It's all very fresh in his memory, even though it went down 5 years ago for him. As it turns out, the actor is just trying to hold on for dear life as much as the character he plays. Jefferson, like Jimmy, is nothing if not humble. He's also the new official BTS expert of Yellowstone. Beginning December 9th, he'll host the official Yellowstone podcast, a series that finds him interviewing many of the show's biggest stars, plus essential crew members like his stunt double and the real-life cowboys that make the Four Sixes Ranch footage work so well. Billy Dukes had 30 minutes with Jefferson, and they dive deep into this new show, available wherever podcasts are found, plus explore Jimmy and Jefferson's storyline and the rumors that he'll be the star of the new Four Sixes spinoff. I really can't say anymore, but when you watch episode 7, you'll know. So tap follow and leave a rating and review if you're hungry for more deep analysis of Yellowstone and 1883. Email staff at tasteofcountry.com with questions and comments that we may use on a future episode. It's a conversation Billy and I welcome viewers who are willing to tell us we're wrong. When you finish, find archive interviews with cast members like Kelly Riley, Luke Grimes, and Kelly Aspill. But let's not waste any more time. Dutton Rules is another great Telltale Media podcast.
Hello, Addison!
Hey, Billy. Okay, I'm really excited about this episode because I love Jimmy as a character, and you had the opportunity to talk to Jefferson White, who plays Jimmy. And so I'm just excited to hear, is he like his character? Is he not like his character? But for listeners, give me an overall, you know, what was this conversation like?
We had 30 minutes together, and it was kind of a video conferencing phone call. He was actually driving for the better part of the conversation. And when you listen to the audio, you'll hear some kind of audio change. And that's when he kind of gets outside the car. I apologize for some of the background noise you'll hear as well. He's kind of walking through the streets. He was on the East Coast somewhere, either driving home or I don't know what he was doing out there, but he was driving for a large part of it. Super nice guy, really personable. Seems like a guy you could like totally just like be friends with and grab a beer with.
Oh, I love that. What did you, going into the interview, what were you hoping to find out?
Well, I wanted to know how he approached podcasting and the level to which he had to sort of geek out on the show. Like, we've talked to some other characters. Cole Hauser stands out, who's like, I don't read the internet at all about this show. Like, I have no idea what the fan theories are or what's happening. And then some other ones have kind of been like, yeah, I watch a little. Like, I wanted to know, since he's going to be on the host of the official Yellowstone podcast, is he in there kind of swimming around with the fan commenters? Is he commenting himself? Is he responding to things as Jefferson White? And then, I had to ask him about a couple of iconic Jimmy scenes from the first four episodes of Yellowstone.
Is Jimmy like his character? Kind of like we've talked about Cole and Rip. They kind of, you know, are similar, and Beth yeah. and Kelly are not. So are Jimmy and Jefferson similar?
You know, I think they really are in some key ways. Like, both were truly new to the craft. Hmm. Like, neither one of them knew about horses or ranches or any of the cultural things attached to the show Yellowstone or The Ranch. Like, it was all a big education for Jimmy, and it's all been a real education for Jefferson White as well. So, like, that underdog just trying to keep up and stay a little bit ahead of, like, the storm that's behind him.
Right.
Like, that's Jimmy, but it's also Jefferson White, too. Huh. He's a little bit smarter than Jimmy, I think.
Right.
Not... Like, but, and he said he's a big fan of the video game Halo.
Okay. Such a random.
I haven't seen Jimmy pull that out.
Yeah, it's kind of a random fact that you got out of him, but it paints a picture.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, he does seem to be like him. He talks a little quicker than Jimmy does, too.
I mean, the biggest thing, obviously, would love to know if he spoiled any secrets, or did he do a pretty good job of keeping a closed mouth?
He was pretty tight-lipped, even to the point where I think maybe he wasn't totally being honest when it came to, like, things he knew or didn't know about the show. But he did sort of insinuate a couple of things. One is that he and Mia might not totally be done. You'll hear that kind of during the conversation. It seems like that relationship kind of just maybe has a pin in it. Even mm-hmm. though we just saw in episode 7, Jimmy seems to be moving on to this new girl, Emily. Like, Mia could come back somehow.
Yeah.
The other thing is, he indicated that Jimmy might return to the Yellowstone Ranch.
I hope so.
And well, that was kind of a big question mark for me, because it seems like he's on the Four Sixes Ranch to stay.
Yeah.
Like, what events are going to transpire that are going to bring him back to the ranch?
Right.
The one question I wish I would have asked him, and I asked him not only about the key scene from episode 7, which just aired involving the horse, but I also asked him about the branding scene, the very first season, very first episode of Yellowstone. He's branded.
Yeah.
And that scene, as it turns out, is much, much more real than you would think. I really wanted to ask him if he was bummed that during the season 3 closing episode, he was essentially just lying there half dead on the floor of the corral. Like, he wasn't involved in the gunfighting or the shooting or the violence at all. I wanted to know if that was a disappointment.
You were curious if he wanted to know, or you were curious if he was bummed that he wasn't part of the action, essentially. Mm-hmm. That he was just lying there helpless.
More or less. Yeah, that was the one question. If I had to go back, I'd ask him about it.
Okay, well, I'm excited to hear what you two did talk about. This is Jefferson White with Billy Dukes on Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone 1883 podcast.
Billy, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm so excited to be here.
Congratulations on the success of the show, and then, of course, the official Yellowstone podcast starting on December 9th. Explain a little bit what the podcast will be focused on and what kind of things you'll bring each and every week.
So one of the things that I'm most excited about the podcast is, you know, for me, Yellowstone has been a huge, huge learning experience. I started out 4 years ago never having ridden a horse. And one of the great gifts of the podcast has been the opportunity to dig a little deeper, to talk in a really sort of focused and concentrated way with a bunch of real cowboys who've really lived this this lifestyle, and also a bunch of the other actors on the show to dig a little deeper and learn about their processes. So for me, it's just been a tremendous opportunity to deepen the learning that I've been doing for the last 4 years.
Is it going to be guest heavy? Will it be focused on interviews with a lot of your fellow castmates?
Cast is just a series of conversations with other members of the cast, Kelly Riley, Cole Hauser, Luke Grimes, and also some of the real cowboys. Big part of the show for us is really respecting this culture and really getting it right. So I'll also be having some conversations with Jake Ream, with Mo Brings Plenty, Forey J. Smith, Bobby Roberts, my stunt double on the show. Just a lot of folks who really have lived as cowboys their entire lives.
I'm really excited to talk about how well the show has done that, especially as you, the character, has transitioned to the 4-6 Ranch. I know a lot of people want to focus on the stars, though, as well, including, of course, Rip Kohlhauser, who it would seem like you have a pretty natural relationship with. But then other actors like Kelly Riley, you don't have a lot of screen time with her. What is that relationship like with you and her off screen?
You know, honestly, that's sort of the greatest gift of the podcast to me is the opportunity to talk with these actors that I haven't gotten to spend a lot of time with on set, because I'm obviously first and foremost a huge, huge fan of Kelly's work or of Luke's work. I love the show and I love watching their performances. And so the podcast has been this incredible opportunity to get to dig a little deeper and learn from them. I'm lucky to have a lot of scenes with Kohlhauser, who plays Rip, with 4E J. Smith, who plays Lloyd. So I've been learning from them for 4 years. And this has been an incredible opportunity to dig a little deeper with these actors that Jimmy doesn't get to spend much screen time with.
It's stunning how different the actor Kelly Riley is from the character of Beth Dutton.
Yeah, it really speaks to her ability as an actor. She couldn't be, you know, and the conversation I had with her was really an exploration in a lot of ways of that idea, you know, of how she finds Beth within herself, you know, and I think that that's an incredible, I think a lot of people watching the show have seen shades of themselves in Beth, you know, have seen, you know, seen themselves in these characters. And, you know, talking to Kelly about how she finds Beth in herself is a fascinating conversation and one that I was very, very, very excited to have and just grateful for Kelly's time, honestly.
We were lucky enough to talk to her as well. And she's just so mild mannered and polite. And are any of the actors method actors in that they're always their character during the whole shoot?
You know, we're lucky in that working on Yellowstone is an incredibly immersive experience. We're really out there in Montana. We're really on the ranch. We're really, you know, covered in dirt. So a lot of that stuff, that idea of immersion or that idea of sort of living as your character comes very naturally because we're really in that environment. You know, we're not on a soundstage in LA pretending to be working on a ranch. We're really out working on a ranch, you know, surrounded by animals. So a lot of that work, we have the tremendous gift that you sort of can't help but be immersed in the experience to a certain extent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Of some of the other characters on the show and actors on the show, who are you sort of more naturally friends with? I would assume like maybe the bunkhouse guys.
Yeah. I really, obviously, Ian Bowen, Denham Richards, and I have spent so much time together over the last 4 years, and we've really become a family. That's been a huge, huge gift. And one of the great joys of getting to do a show, you know, something that TV does that's utterly unique is duration. You know, we've worked on this for 4 years. We've gotten to make 40 hours of Yellowstone. And part of the tremendous sort of benefit of that is you get to spend so much time with these other actors. You know, in the same way that the characters in the bunkhouse live together, sleep in the same room, you know, wake up, eat breakfast together, eat dinner together, drink together. Denham, Ian, and I have had that experience for 4 years now, which I think really informs and improves our relationship on screen, too. Another huge gift there has been the introduction of Jen Landon playing Teeter, of Eden Brolin, who plays Mia, of Hassie Harrison, who plays Laramie. The introduction of those new characters into the bunkhouse has also just been for us like a bunch of new friends. You know, it's been an incredible gift to get to know them over the course of the past 2 years. And I, you know, those are some of my dearest friends as well.
You brought up Mia. What's the future of Jimmy and Mia? Can you guys find your ways back together somehow? Is this a thing that's going to happen?
If I knew, I'd tell you. I've learned over the last 4 years to never try to guess what Taylor Sheridan's going to write. Because every time I guess, I'm wrong, and I've given up on guessing, and I'm just trying to hold on to the fucking horse, you know?
It's Jefferson White from Yellowstone, and also the new host of the official Yellowstone podcast. And, you know, it's interesting talking to the cast, because you get a feel that some people are really engaged in sort of the larger social conversation of Yellowstone. Maybe they're right there online, reading in through some of the comments or in the chat rooms, looking at fan theories. But others, like Kohlhauser, indicated that maybe he doesn't spend a lot of time online, if any. Where are you at? Do you really kind of immerse yourself in sort of the fan society as you prepare for this podcast, or maybe just because you enjoy it?
Yeah, and I'm learning the balance. You know, I spend a lot of time online. I spend a lot of time on Instagram reading comments and sort of participating
in the conversation, but I also think to a certain extent, it's important to, if nothing else, preserve my sanity. So I'm learning to find a balance. And we're lucky that we have like an incredibly positive fan community. We feel, I mean, I personally feel so fortunate and so thankful for our fan community that's so overwhelmingly positive and supportive. But at the same time, you know, staring at comments on Instagram, you know, effectively anonymous comments on Instagram, you're going to find some that really pierce you to your heart. So I'm learning the balance. I respect very much Cole's ability to stay away. I don't quite have so secure a sense of self-esteem. So I'm always out there digging for kind words, and more often than not, finding cruel words alongside them.
What's do you engage as yourself, Jefferson White, or do you have like an avatar, an anonymous avatar?
I engage exclusively as myself, as, you know, @_Jefferson White. And I only ask that if you're going to say something cruel about me, you know, I only ask that you do the same.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because there are some characters who are kind of written to be sort of polarizing. I think Monica maybe is a character that people love to hate and love to love. Certainly Beth. And Jimmy, we've had our highs and lows with Jimmy. You know, you love him and feel bad for him in a lot of ways. But in some cases, it's like, dude, why'd you get back on the horse? Come on, brother.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, honestly, in the case of Monica, in the case of Beth, in the case of Mia, you know, Eden Brolin, who has gotten a lot of, you know, flack online, that just really speaks to the power of the performance, right? These are actors, right, who are doing sort of transformational performances, doing amazing work, you know, making strong decisions. And when their decisions don't necessarily align with your expectations or what you hoped the character would do or what you expected the character to do, that tends to create some friction. So I think that really just speaks to the sort of courage and conviction of those performers. Or for instance, you know, Wes Bentley, who plays Jamie, such a sort of brilliant, you know, Jamie has been such a brilliant and complicated character for 4 seasons now. You hate him, you love him, you love to hate him, you hate to love him. Like, it just sort of swings wildly. And I think that really speaks to the conviction and courage of that performance. You know, Wes Bentley isn't afraid to make Jamie sometimes contemptible, sometimes heroic, sometimes pitiable, you know, and I think that really only speaks to the quality of the performance and the quality of those actors.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about how good of a job the show does in sort of representing not only the indigenous culture, but the rodeo culture. And I think Monica and Kelsey Absol's character, she really carries a lot of the burden of sort of representing the Native Americans and an indigenous culture. And it's beautiful to watch it sort of play out in the job she does, because she does do a good job in a lot of different ways. How much of that information or how much of that culture was new to you coming into the show? Like, how much of a lesson are you getting not only from her, but, you know, other actors like Mo Brings Plenty and some others?
This was all very new to me. And I've been incredibly grateful to those members of our cast and creative team who have been so patient in sort of teaching us. You know, I felt incredibly ignorant, incredibly naive coming into the show, especially as it relates to indigenous issues, indigenous representation. And so I've just been so grateful to folks from that community who have been so patient in teaching me and sort of allowing me to stumble, allowing me to make mistakes, because that's all you can do, right? Those of us who didn't grow up in this world, those of us who aren't sort of inherently familiar with these issues, all we can hope to do is learn. And, you know, it's nobody's responsibility to teach us, but it's incredibly gracious when people take the time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Yellowstone's Jefferson White, who plays Jimmy Herdstrom on the show. And your character has certainly progressed through the 4 seasons. Are you surprised that Jimmy is still alive?
Yeah, every script I read, I sort of with bated breath turn the pages to see if Jimmy makes it out alive. As you mentioned earlier, you know, he makes mistakes. He has his setbacks. It'll feel like he's taken a step forward and then he'll take two steps back. So I'm incredibly grateful he's still alive because it means that I still have a job to a certain extent. Yeah. I'm surprised every time he managed to get back up. It was a pleasant surprise. And I cross my fingers and hold my breath that he'll keep on keeping on.
So help me out here. Your character is currently exclusively on the 4-6's ranch, kind of having his action. First of all, like filming that part of this season, you're isolated, I think, from the rest of the cast and crew. Was it enjoyable to film this for you?
Yeah, it was a remarkable experience. So season 4 of Yellowstone, we shot summer of 2020, and Jimmy spends 6 or 7 episodes of season 4 down in Texas. So what we did was in the middle of the season, in the middle of shooting season 4, we had a splinter unit, a small sort of nimble, incredibly talented crew. We all got on a plane, flew down to Texas, and basically for 2 weeks, we were making a sort of a little movie down there, you know, like it was a very sort of distinct and specific experience and utterly unique over my past 4 years of working on the show. And it was just an incredible gift. Like, you're really right. For Jimmy, the character is isolated. The character is far, far from anything he recognizes. He's having a new experience, sort of in many ways characterized by loneliness and by challenges, by the challenges of loneliness and of sort of having to find his footing in a new environment. And that really mapped onto the experience of shooting it. You know, we flew to West Texas, where I had personally never been. And basically spent 2 weeks kind of on this splinter unit shooting all of that stuff. So that was an incredible gift. And the one thing that I can't stress enough is the crew that we brought down there was incredible. It was like a very sort of challenging and demanding environment in the middle of, you know, West Texas. Everything they say about Texas on the show is true. Everything's trying to bite you. It's burning hot. Like, it's dusty. It's difficult. As beautiful as it is, it's equally punishing. And the crew we had down there was a much smaller crew than makes Yellowstone, you know, usually. Usually we're lucky to have a huge sort of crew infrastructure. And down there in Texas, we had a small splinter unit. And they just did such work. And honestly, it's the same as it always is on the show, which is that I am only ever sort of trying to rise to the level of the brilliant artists and filmmakers that surround me. You know, we're so lucky on the show to be surrounded by incredibly hardworking, incredibly talented cowboys, actors, you know, horse trainers, crew, and I'm only ever sort of trying to rise to the level that I see evident around me.
In a moment, subscribers of the Dutton Rules podcast are going to get to hear you talk about what I think is the most memorable Jimmy scene to date involving a horse in the 4-6's ranch, and I'm hoping you'll humor me there. But going back to the ranch, I think the general belief is that's sort of setting up this new spinoff based on the 4-6's. What's official there with regards to the show and your connection to that show, and what is sort of hearsay or rumor with regards to you and the 4-6's spinoff?
I would say that unsurprisingly, I have no idea what's going on. Unsurprisingly, I'm sort of, as always, you know, just really trying to hold on to the bucking horse. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm as excited as our viewers to find out what's going to happen. And I just put all my trust in the brilliant minds behind the show who always make better decisions than I would, you know? Anytime I try to anticipate what's going to happen, I'm wrong. And what happens is much better than I ever could have guessed. So as relates to all of that, I'm really just putting my faith in Taylor Sheridan, the show's creator and the sort of genius behind it all, and the entire creative team. You know, and I'm crossing my fingers for Jimmy. All I can ever really do is cross my fingers for poor Jimmy.
Well, the scuttle online is, and I'm not sure if this is based on anything that's been provided by the show, is that Jimmy and Walker are headed to the 4-6's ranch, and they're sort of the early linchpins for the new series.
That you're totally right that is the scuttle online.
Okay, fair enough. do Do you have any favorite fan theories that you've read?
I saw one that Casey was a ghost, that Casey had died in season 4, episode 1, and was a ghost. That was a favorite of mine. There was some about certain characters being secret agents or double agents, and I can't confirm or deny any of it. I think it's, you know, I'm a huge fan of the show. I've been a big fan of the show since I first read the pilot script 4 years ago. So for me, you know, I'm a fan of the show first and foremost. So I would never confirm or deny any rumors. I'm simply sort of watching them unfold alongside everyone else, you know, excited to see what's real and what isn't.
Well, the Casey ghost theory was really interesting because, like, he had that sort of moment where he popped out of the bushes wearing, like, the camouflage.
The ghillie suit.
And then he was up at this. And then he was in, like, this Mystic Mountain Tom thing with John. And it was like, oh, wow, I could totally see the ghost. But it totally overlooks the fact that he had a conversation with Rip. Like, I bought in on the ghost thing until I stepped back and thought, oh, wait a minute.
I thought it was an amazing theory. And it really also just shows, like, how sort of keyed in and enthusiastic and, like, smart our audience is. Like, I think that, you know, people love to watch shows, especially a show like Yellowstone that's so full of twists and turns and cliffhangers. I'm exactly the same way. I love to watch it and try to figure out what's happening. I love to watch it and try to get ahead of it. And I think the tremendous gift that Taylor has is you can't get ahead of him. You know, he's brilliant. He's a sort of incredibly ingenious, creative mind who will always be a step ahead of you. But I appreciate and feel exactly the same way as our fans who are always trying to figure out what's going to happen, figure out who's going to do what. I just feel exactly the same way. We're all in the same boat chasing Taylor Sheridan, trying to keep up.
It's Jefferson White. He plays Jimmy on Yellowstone and starts the new official Yellowstone podcast on December 9th, wherever podcasts are found. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Iowa, a tiny town in Iowa called Mount Vernon. Population about 3,500, about 20 minutes away from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, or Iowa City.
Yeah.
Somebody asks where I'm from, I say Iowa, and then I start trying to give landmarks. And nobody even knows the landmarks in Iowa.
No.
You say, oh, yeah, I'm close to Cedar Rapids.
Between which two trees, basically?
Yeah, exactly,
I think Iowa's totally flat.
We're on the one hill in Iowa.
I sensed a Midwest accent, kind of, because I'm a Midwest guy, too. I grew up in Detroit and then West Michigan.
I got some family up in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, get out of here. You ever go visit them?
Yeah, it's beautiful up there. It's beautiful up there in the summer. I don't ever go up in the winter.
No, there's no reason to go up there in the winter. It's just dead and cold and dark. But the summer, you know, that's where it's the fall, especially as the colors.
Gorgeous, man. It's beautiful up there.
How do you watch each episode? Do you watch it on premiere night or do you guys sit around and watch it kind of as they're finished editing?
I watch it on premiere night. Me and my girlfriend and her roommates sit around and watch it at my girlfriend's apartment. Shout out to Casey. And yeah, it's so fun. Like, there's nothing like watching it live. There's been a few times that I've had to miss it and catch up later. And just the experience of watching it live, I think, is so thrilling. I've had a couple of funny experiences with that. There was one week where on a Sunday I was stuck in a hotel and I couldn't figure out how to turn the hotel television from Spanish to English. So I watched Yellowstone in Spanish, which was actually amazing. Like, the actors they had doing the Spanish language dubbing were phenomenal. And were like, it was so exciting. There was like an incredible, the actor playing Lloyd, Forey J. Smith's part, had this amazing, like, sort of raspy voice. It was so, so fun to watch.
Do any of the scenes that come off different on screen compared to how you remember recording them?
Oh yeah, all of them. I always feel like a badass when we're shooting it, and then I watch it and I'm like, oh right, Jimmy's an idiot.
Well, what's that like?
Anytime I think I've done something cool, anytime I'll be like, wow, I really rode that horse. That was a spectacular. I really shot through that, you know, that prairie. And I watch it later and I'm like, oh, I'm barely trotting.
What's that like, though? I mean, your character, a lot of people do think he's sort of dim-witted. Do you believe Jimmy's a little bit slow, so to speak, or is he better than that?
You know, I think his great gift is that he's willing to learn. I think we all, you know, there's stuff, you know, we're all smart in some ways and dumb in some ways. God knows there's stuff that, you know, I know a whole lot about Halo. I know a whole lot about ping pong. And then, you know, if you ask me the capitals of any state, it's going to be mostly whiffs. You know, we all have our blind spots. And the thing that I appreciate about Jimmy is that he's willing to learn. He knows what he doesn't know. You know, he knows what he doesn't know. And he's always sort of fighting to catch up, which is kind of how I feel myself.
You know, you mentioned you have a lot of sort of your stunt double and a lot of the rodeo and the cowboys on the podcast. To what degree are you continuing to learn about their craft sort of live in action during some of these conversations you'll be having?
That's kind of my favorite part of the podcast is that opportunity to keep learning. Because these things are lifelong pursuits, you know, cowboying, you know, rodeo. These are like ranching. These are lifelong endeavors. A lot of these guys, you know, got on a horse the first time when they were 2 years old, 3 years old. So it's naive. I would be incredibly naive to imagine that in 4 years I've learned everything there is to learn. So the incredible gift of this podcast has been getting to sort of deepen my learning and deepen my understanding by people who really have been living out West, been living this lifestyle their entire lives. You know, all of us, and this is the great gift of being an actor, is we get to sort of step into these lives, these cultures, these communities that we would maybe otherwise never be exposed to. And the great gift of doing a show for 4 years is you don't only get a sort of, you're not just a tourist. You're not just stopping by in this world. You really get to dive deep into it. And so the podcast has been this incredible opportunity for me to kind of have a deeper kind of engagement with this world that I'm new to and that I have really fallen in love with.
I appreciate how the show doesn't dumb down like some of the rodeo stuff. Like if you don't know what cutting is, you're probably going to have to Google or ask around what Taylor Sheridan's doing on that horse. Like Buster Welch is another example. I don't know that people outside of Texas knew who Buster Welch was until they Googled him and thought, oh, okay, yeah, this guy really is sort of a legit horse trainer.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. I think Taylor's always been interested in making a show that he would love, making a show that folks that grew up ranching, grew up cowboying, grew up rodeoing would love. And I think that the show is in many ways geared towards that audience and seeking to sort of show something that hasn't really been seen on TV before, you know, a show for folks that really come from this world. And then I think for those of us that don't, for those of us that are new to it, there's an incredible sort of, you know, it's an incredible articulation of both the myth of the West and also the sort of reality of the West, you know, because some of us who aren't familiar with this world, you know, I grew up watching movie Westerns. I grew up sort of surrounded by the myth of the West. And then working on the show has been a confrontation with the reality of the West, you know, which is sometimes mythic, sometimes beautiful, sometimes romantic, but then also sometimes dangerous, you know, exhausting, challenging, and brutal.
About 5 minutes left with Jefferson White from Yellowstone on the Paramount Network, also the host of the official Yellowstone podcast, which starts December 9th, wherever podcasts are found. Can I ask you about a couple of specific scenes?
Please.
Well, the first one, I think you're the first person that we've had a chance to talk to who has been branded. And I wonder what that scene was like to film. I mean, obviously, you didn't get the real brand, but which elements of sort of the branding were real during the shooting? And I know it was several years ago in your case, but what was that experience like? And maybe any secrets you can share about how it was filmed?
You're right that it was several years ago, but don't worry, Billy, I will never forget it. So the way they did that, it was very important to Taylor, who was directing that episode. He directed every episode of the first season. It was very important to him that scene feel real. And part of what was important to accomplishing that effect was smoke sort of rising off the brand. And the only way we figured out how to accomplish that was for Kohlhauser, who plays Rip, to use an actually superheated brand. A piece of wood with leather stretched over it directly over my chest. So what really happened was Kohlhauser, you know, they superheated this brand. It was red hot, a real brand. And I held a piece of wood up against my chest with a piece of leather, you know, stretched over it. And Cole really pressed the brand in that piece of leather. So
Wow.
There was about, you know, there was about an eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch of leather stretched over about a half an inch or an inch of wood. And then my chest was on the other side of it. So I will never forget the smell, which was a very sort of potent and authentic kind of smell. And I'll never forget the heat that rose off of the brand in that moment. You know, like the sort of heat from the smoke and the proximity to that red hot brand was very real. So a lot of that scene, you know, yeah, was kind of more realistic than you might think. I wasn't actually branded, but there actually was a red hot brand, and it actually was, you know, pressing into my chest with a piece of wood in between.
You've been a part of some other important scenes as well. I think the hospital scene with Mia stands out, the fight with Fred early on. But I think in episode 7, we get to see you learn how baby horses are made. And it is, take me into, I mean, that was that a one take shot? And what was that like from your perspective?
I'm proud to say, Billy, that was a one take shot. We did that exactly one time.
Okay.
And you know, that's also been a huge learning experience for me. Like, this is big business. In the Western world, horse breeding is big, big business. The way that a place like the Sixes, which is a real massive historic cattle ranch in West Texas, works is they've got these incredible horses. They have a legacy and a tradition of the best horses in the world. And part of how they keep the operation running is they sell, you know, you sell basically the right to breed these horses. So you sell the horse's semen and ship it all over the world to you know, legacy to foster generations of the best, most talented horses in the world. So at some point in that process, it takes an incredibly talented, well-trained, careful, meticulous vet tech to extract the semen from the horse. Or in this case, a fucking idiot. In this case, a clueless actor. A clueless actor from the other side of the country flying in to jerk off a horse. So making that scene, of course, everybody's first priority is the horse's safety.
Sure.
Everybody's second priority is my safety. And then after that, you know, you're trying to get a funny shot and trying to tell the story of the scene. So I was lucky to be surrounded by a bunch of experts. I was lucky to be surrounded by incredibly talented vet techs, horse trainers, you know. But at the end of the day, it was me holding a tube, jerking off a horse, you know?
So many things could have gone wrong. I'm glad it was just one take, Jimmy.
Yeah, so many things could have gone wrong. We got it in one. That's a scene that I barely remember. I was so focused on... getting it right. You know, there's a lot of variables in a scene like that and what you're trying to do as an actor. And, you know, in any situation, anytime you're working with animals, the health of the animal is your first priority. So I was really focused on keeping that horse, making sure he was taken care of in every sense. And beyond that, I really don't remember what happened.
Jefferson, you've been super generous with your time and answers, man. I really look forward to the podcast, and I can't wait to see what is next with Jimmy and the Four Sixes Ranch in season 4 of Yellowstone.
Thank you so much, Billy. I mean, we get to keep making the show because of the community. Like, we get to keep making the show because of the response that the audience has had to it. So any opportunity we get to give thanks for that, I personally leap at. We're so, so grateful to the audience of this show, because you guys are, you know, the reason we get to keep doing it. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's Jefferson White and Billy Dukes. Find his new podcast, The Official Yellowstone Podcast, wherever great podcasts are found. The Yellowstone Podcast was recorded at the Wynn in Las Vegas and will include interviews with many of the show's biggest stars. Jefferson spoke with us from his car and neighborhood, somewhere along the East Coast. I'm Addison Hager, and Billy Dukes and I will be back soon to break down the next episodes of Yellowstone in 1883. If you haven't already, tap follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review if you liked what you've been hearing. Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone in 1883 podcast, is written by myself and Billy Dukes and produced by Billy Dukes. For questions and comments, email staff@tasteofcountry.com. Dutton Rules is another great Town Square Media podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.